Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. By Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 320 for October 4th, 2017. Puerto Rico deployment.
Hello, everybody. It's K9EID, and we're back in Pleasant Hope, and we got a lot of information on this show tonight. You're watching Ham Nation. It's a show about amateur radio, but tonight it's a special, very special show about what amateur radio is doing. And we have a very special guest with us, and the usual guests are here and will be coming on later in the show. George is here, Gordon's here, Amanda, but Valerie is not with us. Valerie is down in Puerto Rico, and we're going to talk about that. We were hoping to have her on here, and maybe we'll do that, but communication's a little crazy. But we're very proud to have Tom Gallagher, the CEO of the American Radio Relay League. Tom, how are you doing tonight?
Well, we're holding up pretty well, Bob. Thank you. With a lot of support from our staff and an awful lot of support from our friends, including you. So thanks.
Well, a lot of people don't realize how important it is to make ham radio play. And we do every day, but boy, now we really have to make it play. What I'm most proud of is we're seeing a lot of press, a very nice video that Fox News has played around the country. I saw this the other day in Milwaukee, and I mean, it's playing all over the country, and I really appreciate that. And I'm sure you do too, Tom, because tell us a little bit about what's going on at the league in Newington. You're just going crazy, I'm sure. What are you doing to help everything happen right now?
Well, thanks, Bob. This began on Friday night a week ago, about 10:30. Mike Corey, our emergency preparedness manager, got a call late that night from the Red Cross, and they said, can you muster 50 accomplished radio operators to go down to Puerto Rico? And he said, when? And they said, ASAP. So we had a conference call on Saturday to work out the details. Sunday night, we put out the call. Within 12 hours, 14 hours, we had literally hundreds of volunteers. And I think through the week, we got up to 450 volunteers. But we had to equip them, and our inventory was very low from the prior two events. So we ordered, got delivered, tested, packed up into Pelican boxes, 25 radio kits, and had them out the door early, about 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. And there you see them. And I think they are at Red Cross. Yes, they're at Red Cross headquarters in San Juan, being opened up and inspected by the operators. But this was, you know, a rapid deployment of the scale that we've never seen before. I mean, Red Cross has never asked us to do this. And I think the amateur radio community really did itself proud in not only turning out 50 people who went, but, you know, another 400 who didn't, but they're standing in reserve.
Hello? That's really wonderful. And you did this in a record time also. That's what's great about it. The gear is all packed in Pelican boxes, so away it goes. And what happens to it then when it leaves Newington? Where does it go?
Well, we were very fortunate. One of the major airlines has an arrangement with us to move our stuff for us, and they moved it to Atlanta. And Atlanta, Hartsfield Airport, was the staging area from 16 or 17 states across the country. The volunteers assembled in Atlanta, and then they got on a JetBlue flight to San Juan Thursday. They were there Thursday afternoon, and they were operating Friday morning. They were moving traffic Friday morning. They're doing really four things, and I want to include in this, Bob, also our Puerto Rican resident hams, our Puerto Rico residents who have been working nonstop as well. The hams down in Puerto Rico are doing four basic tasks. The first is moving health and welfare traffic from San Juan, from headquarters, back to the states over HF using Winlink. It's the fastest and most reliable method, and it allows Red Cross to more easily put the information into the Safe and Well website, that giant bulletin board. So if there are family members or friends who are looking for folks in Puerto Rico, check the Red Cross Safe and Well website. The second thing that they're doing is moving information around the various shelters. As soon as our operators got there, many of them went out into parts of the island that had had no contact since the storm left, even as far west as Mayagüez, which is the extreme western tip of Puerto Rico. We have a team out there at a shelter, and they populated most of the shelters. I think all of, or almost all of the hospitals have HF or VHF communications now because there's nothing else. So they're moving emergency traffic, and I've been looking at some of the traffic, and it's really it brings tears to your eyes, the things that kids and old people need. This is a tragedy of old people and young people. The third thing that the hams are doing is that they're operating the radio systems for the police and the first responders because they had trunk systems that went down completely. Just knocked right off the air, and they haven't come back. So there's a ham riding with most police officers and using 2 meters to dispatch. In addition, the utility company, I think it's called PERMA, had a second network that they used for their repair trucks. That went down. So now the hams are providing communications for the utility company as well, since their radios don't work. And then the last task that they're doing is something that's really interesting and very much, I think, reflects the adaptability and, you know, the sort of MacGyver quality of ham radio operators. And they are helping to dispatch both water and electricity as the electrical grid comes back up and the water system comes back up. And obviously, you don't just sort of flip on a generator and walk away. You've got to manage that load. And the utility used to use their own private communications network. Well, that's gone now. So hams are doing that work too. So we ought to be really proud of them, not only for stepping into harm's way and committing 3 weeks of their lives to this, but for being so incredibly versatile and not worried about making a mistake, just going in there and getting the job done.
Well, we're really proud of everybody that's there. We're especially proud of our Valerie. She's just a real trooper and when it comes to DX and contest work. But in doing that, she can handle traffic very well, Tom. Have you been able to have any contact with Valerie?
Yeah, we speak to Valerie 3 or 4 times a day on her sat phone or on her cell phone. There's some limited cell connectivity in San Juan, but her sat phone is working, and doing everything from giving us situation reports to finding out what types of radios were in use, so that Heil Sound could send us a bunch of gear, and we'd match it up with the right radios. And she did all of that work too. And Bob, I just want to say how grateful I am, and how grateful the league and the board and the staff are for your generosity here. To date, we've raised about $110,000 for HamAid, an outpouring. You know, people sending a $25 contribution, some folks sending multi-$1,000 contributions. But I don't think I've ever seen a community step up the way this one has done that. And I'm real proud of them, too.
Well, we're really proud of all of the amateurs. And first thing Sarah said yesterday when we heard about the Valerie needed headsets, off they went. So I think she's got 25 or 30 Pro 7s headed down to Puerto Rico, and we're thrilled to be able to do that. Is there anything else we need to tell everybody here in closing, Tom? Anything that we need to really touch upon other than send some donations to this? That's very important, right?
Yeah, to HamAid, and I'd also say to the Red Cross, because, you know, we were the guests of the Red Cross down there. We couldn't have done it had they not asked us and sheltered and fed us. And the Red Cross is always there, and they're not only always there, they're always there first. So remember them in your contributions as well. I would say that to those who did not get selected for this mission, and it was almost first come, first serve, just stand by. There's going to be plenty of opportunities in the future, because I think the future of emergency communications today, we learned in Houston and we learned on the Keys, is just rapid deployment, sometimes to a place very far away. And it's something we've got to think about harder and train for. And I know you'll help, and I know that the amateur radio community will help too. But thanks again for having me on, and all the best to you.
We'll have you back on when things get a little better, and maybe had a little deal that you and Amanda and you and Valerie can talk about things and make it happen. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll stay in touch. You need anything, you know where we are.
Thank you, Bob. 7-3.
Okay. Very, very good. Well, we're so proud to have Tom with us, and we'll continue the report, because there's going to be a lot more when Valerie gets back. I'm sure she'll have a whole program. She can fill us with great news. But until then, we're going to talk about one of the companies that also sent a whole bunch of radios to Puerto Rico. So they coupled up with the Heil Pro 7s. They have equipment to use, and it's equipment that really plays in tough conditions, but it'll play in your ham shack also. Let's hear from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of this contest season with one of these. Ideal for the ham on the go, the IC7300 is a high-performance HF transceiver with a compact design. Don't miss a weak signal with a combination of a waterfall function and real-time spectrum scope. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC7851 will give you the competitive edge you've been looking for. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, digital voice recorder, and more. Can't wait for the IC7610? The IC7600 is still available and at a great price. Following in the footsteps of ICOM's flagship radio, the IC7600 offers intuitive operation and the latest DSP technologies. Digital IF filter, dual DSP, 5.8-inch ultra-wide TFT display, high-resolution real-time spectrum scope, and more. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to iComAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win for great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And the new radio coming up, well, both in September and this month, October, is the ID4100A. It's a dual-band transceiver, entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features, built-in GPS receiver, full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's available Android and iOS applications for it. Of course, it does both analog and D-Star. So go to iComAmerica.com/HamNation after this in each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And we've got a winner. The September winner of the ID4100A is John W0JW. Congratulations, John. You're going to like that radio. And we've got another one for October, so don't go away. After tonight's show, go register. After each episode, go register, because someone's winning these things. It might as well be you. Also, another contest ICOM has going on right now is helping celebrate the 12th anniversary of my other video podcast, AmateurLogic.tv. We've been doing it 12 years, and ICOM's helping us celebrate. We've got the great ICOM IC7300 rig right here that we'll be giving away a couple of weeks. So you want to register for that for sure. Go to amateurlogic.tv/contest, register, and you could possibly win that. We're giving away this IC7300, the MFJ1835 5-band cobweb antenna, a very nice portable antenna, the MFJ4230 MVP power supply, and 100 feet of RG8X coax, courtesy of MFJ. And we've got the Howl Sound ProSet IC right here that we'll be giving away as well. So go to amateurlogic.tv/contest, and you'll get all the details there on how you can register to win this great prize package. It's only a couple of weeks left. If you haven't signed up already, you need to be getting your name in the hat. And just to sweeten the pot a little bit, Tommy and I are going to throw in a couple of our, these are our 2017 Dayton Hamvention commemorative faux gold PL259s. That coax we're giving away comes with the connectors, but we're going to give away a pair of those just strictly for display. We wouldn't encourage you to put solder on them. Well, we'll be back in just a moment, because this is the time of the show that I usually ask Don what's up in the wide, wide world of amateur radio news.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2082, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 4th, 2017. There's justice at last for the killer of David Coet, N6DAC. It arrived at his sentencing in an Orange County, California courtroom on September 22nd.
You emerged as the face of evil in this community. Those were the words of Superior Court Judge Thomas Gethels as he imposed a 232-year prison sentence on Scott Decry. It was back in October 2011 when Decry, heavily armed and wearing a bulletproof vest, walked into a Seal Beach hair salon and shot his ex-wife. He kept firing at everyone else in sight and then made his escape. In the parking lot, he spotted David Coet, N6DAC, sitting in his truck. N6DAC was a former star high school athlete who loved off-roading in his Land Rover. Thinking he was an undercover officer, Decry shot the 64-year-old ham, making him the eighth fatal victim of his rampage. Decry soon surrendered, but his case dragged on as evidence mounted showing widespread misuse of jailhouse informants by the district attorney and sheriff's offices. That led the judge to rule out capital punishment, even though Decry had pleaded guilty. However, the verdict gave him no chance of parole. In closing the case, the judge said that there were no winners in this case, only losers. The only win, he said, is by the rule of law. From Orange County, California, this is Joe Mell, KZRO Oscar Victor, for Amateur Radio Newsline.
Hams on the International Space Station want students to look to the sky and then start talking.
So what exactly do you say to an astronaut? Well, if you could have been on the air with space station astronaut Joe Acaba, KE5DAR, recently, you might have asked about his concerns for his home in Houston, as well as his family's homeland in Puerto Rico, both impacted by recent hurricanes. Schools, museums, youth groups, and science centers will get the chance to ask these kinds of questions and other kinds of questions next year as the Amateur Radio on the International Space Station program once again solicits four proposals for groups to talk to the orbiting crew members between July 1st and December 31st of next year. The program connects students around the world with the men and women in space, but these radio contacts require planning. The ARIS program looks for participants who can build a well-thought-out lesson plan around the actual contact itself, which occurs over amateur radio. That means students are exposed to radio science, satellite communications, wireless technology, and other STEM topics. Deadline for proposals is November 15th. For proposal guidelines and other information, visit ARRL.org/ARISS. As any educator will tell you, there's a lot that can be said in those important and unforgettable 10 minutes. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Finally this week, one of the many amateurs to step in with communications assistance this hurricane season was Stan Hartz, KK4WCW. Stan joined the vast team of hams connecting Puerto Rico storm victims with worried relatives here in the U.S. Overcome with emotion after completing a successful contact on September 23rd, Stan decided to share his feelings on social media. And now, we've asked him to share that with you. Here's Stan.
For the past 5 years, I've been into amateur radio. People sort of look at me like I'm crazy sometimes and ask me why I just don't use a cell phone. Puerto Rico has recently been devastated by Hurricane Maria, and there's no cellular phone system in operation. The Salvation Army is running what is known as a welfare net, where persons in Puerto Rico can get a brief message from a family member there locally on paper and relay to an amateur radio operator in Puerto Rico to one on the U.S. mainland. Depending on a variety of conditions, some people hear certain signals better than others. Today, from that net, I took a message for a family with a 910 area code the same as mine. I called to tell the person that their family and their home was okay. Other than a slight language barrier and the bit of confusion as to how I got the message, the man started to cry with joy. About 15 minutes later, his wife called me back and asked for better details on how I got the message. It seems her husband forgets some of his English when he's crying. Well, by that point, we were all crying. So for those who ask what my hobby is all about, this is it. The iPhone 10 won't reach Puerto Rico right now, but a 1990s vintage amateur radio on a 12-volt battery and a 100-foot wire antenna strung between two trees in my backyard will. This is KK4WCW.
Thank you, Stan, and thanks to every amateur who joined in these efforts everywhere. Stan's words speak for every radio amateur doing this priceless work. Ham radio is all about connections, and in these trying circumstances, those connections also happen to be lifelines. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting, at www.arnewsline.org. With Joe Mell, K0OV, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Stan Hartz, KK4WCW, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
And 7-3, Don. Don is not with us live tonight. That was by Memorex, of course. He's down cruising the coast. That's a big event they have down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast once a year, where they take all these old classic cars and they ride up and down the strip there. And, you know, Don's big into the classics there. I assume he's out in his Smokey and the Bandit car, just prowling around, having a good old time down there. So, Don, we will see you here next week. I did see him this past week at the MFJ special event, 45th anniversary. Had a good time there. But what I wanted to talk about right now is the solar update. You know, Dr. Scove couldn't be with us tonight, but she did send us a report and some graphics So I'm going to do my best now not to mess it up. She sent us a 5-day solar storm and aurora outlook. Solar activity has been pretty quiet, and this should continue for most part of the week. Through the weekend, we do have a small coronal hole that is rotating into the Earth strike zone now, and it will be sending us some fast solar winds over the next few days. Likely this will only bring unsettled conditions for the next few days, but there is a slight chance of a minor storm conditions, mostly in higher latitudes. Overall impact to ham radio and emergency responders to the hurricanes should be mild, especially on the day side of Earth. And the 5-day solar flare and radiation storm outlook. Radio blackout risk is zilch this week, as we only have 2 sleepy active regions in Earth view. Solar flux is currently at marginal levels for HF radio propagation and will be dropping slightly as region 2682 rotates out of view over the next couple of days. Well, thank you, Dr. T, for keeping us up to date on the solar weather. You know, that's a great service for all us hams here at Ham Nation, and we really appreciate you hanging in there and feeding us the information, because we don't really know exactly what the sun's going to do. We just know what it's doing at the present time, so it's nice to have those forecasts from you. Well, tonight, Smoke and Solder, I've got a brief part of an interview I did this past weekend with Martin Jew, the founder of MFJ Enterprises. You know, they had the 45th anniversary celebration there. Had a great time there. We saw a lot of friends and met a lot of new friends. Shot a lot of interesting video that has yet to be edited, and I'll let you know once that is ready and where you can view it. But I do have a portion of my interview with Martin Jew, the founder of MFJ here. Martin is just one super nice guy. And, well, here's just a couple of things that we talked about. 10 years ago, I sat in this office right here and talked with Martin Jew, the founder of MFJ Enterprises, about how the company got started, some of the stories over the years. And, you know, in 10 years' time, well, maybe I forgot a few things, and I'm sure some things have changed too. So we're going to do it again. Martin, thanks for being with us here today.
Well, thank you for coming down to visit us. And you're right. Some things have changed, but some things, and that stack of paper over there is probably the same stack that was there 10 years ago.
You think so? It could be, I guess. The office does look a little neater than the last time I was in here.
Well, you know, I spent the last several days cleaning out all the junk that I had all over my office, and after I got through cleaning, I found a floor down there.
So there was something under it all anyway.
Yeah.
Do you still use the same note-keeping system? Tell us about that.
Well, you know, in engineering school, we were always taught to keep a notebook. So over behind me, there's a stack of notebooks that goes back from my days as a student. And whenever I come up with an idea or have a conversation with someone, I keep some notes. And I used to record every telephone call that I had. So I got a room full of notebooks.
Wow. So 45 years worth of notebooks would be quite a lot. Do you keep them all here, or have you had to lease out storage to
well,
put some in?
Well, they're just kind of stacked under the desk, and they're everywhere. You know?
Yeah. And you remember where everything is in them?
Well, you know, I like to tell everybody that, but, you know, I don't always say things that are always accurate.
I also noticed, of course, you've got a nice collection of vintage gear in here, and I think that has grown since the last time I was here as well.
Well, it has. I've got as many radios as I can stack on the top shelf of all these bookcases into bookcases, and then behind that set of bookcases there, there's two more stacks of radios on top of bookcases on the other side, and there's some more radios that's stacked on the top of the shelf in that room, and then the extra radios are out there in the hallway. So it won't be long before I have to move out of the office.
So some of them, you've got more than one of a particular model. You've got backups.
I have got so many backups. You know, when I find a deal on a radio, I just buy it. And I don't know why, but I might have four, five, six of the same thing.
What would you say is one of the more favorite recent finds?
Well, I tell you, there's two radios that I'm very proud to have. One of them is a, remember the very first transistor radio that was ever made for the consumer market, and it was made by a company called Regency. They brought out, it was a four transistor radio, pocket size, and this was back around, I think, 1954, 1956, where they brought out the very first piece of equipment for the ham radio market. And what it was a mobile converter. Back then, when you operated mobile, you use your AM broadcast station as the receiver, and the converter would convert those bands down so you can receive it on your radio. And I mean, the converter had built-in BFO, so you could receive Morse code. But that was a really good find. And the other one was a set by Helicraft that looked exactly like a S-38 receiver. It was a low-cost receiver made in the 40s and the 50s. Mm-hmm. But this was a S-38, but it also had a transmitter that was built into it. Had an extra tube for the oscillator, and then used audio amplifier output stage tube for the final amplifier in the transmitter, and the controls for the transmitter was on the back. It was called the SR-75, and the SR designated a receiver and a transmitter.
Wow. So they did pull double duty with that one tube then?
With that audio output stage was not only output stage for the audio, but also for the transmitter. Yeah.
So on the Regency you were talking about a moment ago, that was the first solid-state piece of ham radio gear?
First solid-state piece of ham radio gear. Had one transistor in it, and I remember the transistor number. It was the SB100, and that was a very early VHF transistor.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be back in just a moment. I've got something to give away here. But first, let's get a message from Don about Rocket Mortgage.
This episode of Ham Nation brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Nice to have Rocket Mortgage on board with us. What's so exciting about a mortgage, you say? Mortgages are boring. You need one, but, you know, that's about as far as you really want to think about it. Well, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, they're thinking about it, and they've changed the way that you get your mortgage. The mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated, and it needed a client-focused technological revolution, and that is exactly why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's very simple. Rocket Mortgage allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you, and knowledge is power. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your very first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in second. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that is perfect for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage, for being part of Ham Nation.
And thank you, Don Wilbanks, for that important message there. You know, last week I asked a question because it was related to what I did last week. You know, I had that little DTMF decoder that I hooked to an Arduino and we experimented with a little bit. Well, I asked the question, what does DTMF stand for? And we had a winner. It's Gary Hebert, KB8YFS. And Gary said it stands for dual tone multi-frequency. And that's correct, Gary. Just for answering that, we're going to send you your choice of one of Gordo's books. I've got the technician right here. However, Gordo's also got the General Amateur Radio Study Guides. He's got the Amateur Extra. So you can take your pick. Choose whatever you want. Or if you're already an extra, well, maybe you pick up a technician and help someone else get into the hobby. So thanks for making those available, Gordo. I've got another book here. You know, we have another author on the show, and that's Bob Heil. And he's recently, I say recently, it's probably in the last couple of years, has reintroduced the Heil Ham Radio Handbook. This is the second edition here. I know he did a lot of updates on it. Some really good information in here about ham radio, just all kinds of things you'd want to know, schematics, tables, explanations, just practically things that every ham should know. If you'd like to win a copy of that, well, then answer this for me. What was the original name of Heil Sound? If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this Heil Ham Radio Handbook. We'll find out who wins that next week. And now I think, well, I believe we have another host that has been standing by patiently waiting, and he's got some special photos tonight. Gordo.
Well, thank you, George. Boy, I'll have to think about that name before Heil Sound. This weekend, Great Lakes HamCon is going to be held at the Michigan International Speedway, October 7th. And eight. And you know, with all going on in Puerto Rico, Steve Ewald of the American Radio Relay League and many of his personnel have been working hard to get all that gear down there. We remember that we're here for messages coming out of Puerto Rico, but ham radio into Puerto Rico looking for someone is not the way to go. So what do you do when the neighbor knocks on the door and says, can you get a hold of my loved husband who's in Puerto Rico, and rather than say, well, let me give you a web address and have a nice day and slam the door, that's a black eye for ham radio. Rather, tell the neighbor, yes, give us as much information as you can, and then you log on to the American Red Cross safeandwell.communityos.org site, type in the name and maybe a phone number, and you may score that information that this party checked into one of the Red Cross shelters. So again, be kind to your neighbors that are finally realizing ham radio can maybe get through this silence. And even though it won't be ham to get down to the Puerto Rico area, it will be a message looking for a ham. So remember safeandwell.communityos.org. You'll find it on the American Red Cross site. And that's a great site to go to. And wow, Bob and Sarah and their whole team sending down all of these headsets. Here's a tip for those that probably won't get this down there, but for those of you that deploy with that wonderful Pro 7 headset. So if we may go to a little bit of short shots. All right, our first shot is the Heil traditional headsets. They're very lightweight. So if you have a radio, which this is the ICOM 5100, that does monitor, you'll hear yourself talking. And that's a great feature because it's nearly impossible with the huge cups of the Headset Pro 7 to hear yourself talking if you don't have that monitor capability. Here's Chip K7JA, and he's working one of the sets. Here's Don, our ATV guy, and he's got one of the Heil headsets. But these are the lightweight ones, and likely you can hear all sorts of activity behind you or hear your own voice. There's the Pro 7s. These are wonderful headsets. But let me tell you, folks, when you put them on both ears and you try and talk without having a monitor of your own voice, you're going to have a hard time talking. Most HF transceivers do have the monitor function. Here is, down in Quartzsite, Ward, working with the ICOM IC9100, and on both VHF, UHF, and HF, the monitor function works great with a Heil headset. Just be sure when you're ordering the Heil headset from DX Engineering that you tell them what radio and what wiring that you want to have go with that headset for your particular radio. Much like commercial avionics headsets, everybody that talks in the mic hears their own voice coming back. Well, that makes sense because with all the noise that they're going to have down there in Puerto Rico, you're going to need that capability. But many of the radios are dual band radios, and the FM dual banders normally do not have. Not normally. I don't know of any FM dual bander, just two bands only, not part of HF, but a dual bander that has listen capabilities of your transmit voice. Not a problem. You're going to need a Y adapter like this. You're going to need that great Pro 7 with the right plugs that's going to plug into your specific VHF and UHF dual band radio. I guarantee Bob and Sarah are going to send down every plug known to mankind because that's one of the strengths of the Heil sound audio microphones is all the plug capabilities. So what we need to do is we got to figure out a way how we can hear ourselves during transmitting if the radio that we're talking on does not have capabilities to give us audio back. Well, that's where you're going to use a little VHF handheld. You're going to plug your Heil headset Y adapter into whatever radio you're going to be using, and you're going to then plug into the audio output of a handheld. And you're going to dial in the same frequency, or if you're going through a repeater, an offset, so when you transmit, you're hearing your input to that repeater, and turn the volume up, and you're going to hear your voice quite nicely through the same Heil headset that's tied into that VHF-UHF transceiver. You can get audio out of the small, even handhelds via, in this case, on the remote mic. Just plug right in. Here's the ID51 from ICOM America. That takes a conventional earphone-type plug, of which you're going to plug in. You're going to tune in the frequency that you want to hear yourself talk on. On many mobile transceivers, you're going to find that in the back of the radio is where that little miniature plug is. And turn the volume up just enough and set the squelch. And when you stop talking, the squelch will go crunch, and now you're hearing regular audio coming out of your larger radio. So if you've got the big Pro 7 headsets from Heil Sound, there's a way to get good audio from your voice coming back by using an accessory little dual band radio, using that radio and a Y connector to be able to get yourself listening to your own voice. So that's the story on those great headsets. I've used them down at Quartzsite as well as for an air show this past weekend. And the key really is the little tiny splitter. And having the Heil headset, you can then put both ears on. And when you transmit, you're actually going to hear the audio coming out of not your main radio because it's on transmit, but rather your small little handheld.
Well, we wish everyone the very best down in Puerto Rico, especially those 50 chosen by the American Radio Relay League. Tom did a fabulous job of telling us how important ham radio is. I'm going to go back to you, George, because I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get Valerie online, but I know Amanda has a very powerful follow-up. So, George, I'll let you then turn it over to who our next host will be.
Okay, Gordo, thanks for that. Good information there. You know, I use the Heil ProSet 3s here myself. I really like these. They sound good for music or radio operation. They don't completely cover your ears, but they sit right on top of them, and they really block out the sound, too. And like you say, if you're trying to work the radio and you don't turn on that monitor function, boy, it is really difficult to talk, because when you've got someone else coming in here loud and clear, and then you key your mic and you start talking and you don't hear anything, you feel like you're not transmitting.
It is
tough. But thanks for that tip. A great way to solve that little problem there for those using dual banders. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Amanda. But first, Don is back with a message from DX Engineering.
Hey, let's talk about DX Engineering. We all love the thrill of making contacts with exotic, rarely activated locales. So are you ready to gallantly fight through the pileups? Well, DX Engineering has the gear you need to meet any DXing challenge that stands in your way and do it with gusto. Looking to upgrade your amplifier for a little more satisfying experience? Well, DX Engineering has a full lineup of HF linears in a wide range of prices. Get a power boost and just the right features from brands like Acom, RM Italy, Yaesu, Icom, and Ameritron. A range of coverage and power options available from 600-watt PEP output to all-out full-gallon 1,500-watt continuous power, providing the punch to operate from 160 through 6. Features include automatic, fully automatic tuning, lightning-quick band switching, digital controls, high-resolution color displays, built-in antenna switches. That's just barely scratching the surface of what DX Engineering has as far as amplifiers go. And it's a great time to put up a Yagi antenna for your station. Here are three options to consider. From DX Engineering, the strong yet lightweight 2015 and 10-meter Skyhawk. It's a trap-free design to provide the best bandwidth and the lowest loss. They also offer the easy-to-install and reliable 17 and 12-meter Skylark. No tuning. You switch bands in an instant, and exclusively offered in North America, the E-Antenna HF Rotatable Antenna includes a range of monoband and multiband Yagi beams available for every popular band from 80 through 6. And also, you can make DX Engineering's NCC2 receive antenna variable phasing system a trusted tool for knocking out noise and strong interfering stations, so you can copy and log the weak ones. The NCC2 combines the previous NCC1 phase controller and the new RTR2 receive antenna interface technologies in one versatile unit. It gives you enhanced balance functionality, expanding its ability to phase between two different types of antennas. And if you have, you know, limited space, some constraints there, you can easily null out noise by phasing your transmit and receive antennas, or use two active verticals or loops with built-in bias T that operates from 13.8 volts all the way up to 21 volt DC. The NCC2 also features slots for the new plug-in versions of the 5000 HD receiver guard and the RPA2 pre-amplifier. It's a full system, and DX Engineering has it, and they're the only ones that have it. DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped same day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. That's dxengineering.com/hamnation. Thank you, DX Engineering, for being part of the Ham Nation family.
Okay, now let's go to Amanda and find out what's going on in the chat room and maybe get a little more information about what Val has been up to.
Well, certainly. First of all, I'd like to just say Jeff and I here are praying for the victims, their families, and the first responders there in Las Vegas. None of us can even imagine what all those people went through, and you feel so helpless when you're not there. So our prayers are with them tonight, first of all. Second, let's talk about what Valerie's doing. Getting a little bit of inside information. She's, they started off sleeping inside a church on pews on, I think it was Thursday night, and they're getting upgraded now. They're now kind of in barracks. And Victor, I don't know if you had some photos to show there. There's the barracks. I call it barracks. This is actually the San Juan Convention Center, as far as I know. And she started to learn a few tips from the military people that are also in the same area as her. It's kind of funny. She said, well, we picked at our spot. We thought it was going to be so strategic and nice in the corner. But she found out that they chose one right next to where the shower room always stays on. So she's right next to lights. But they picked up some tips from those military people, and they started building a fort. As you can see, the boxes are surrounding them. They kind of make their own little privacy line. So it's kind of cool to see that how well she's adapted. And I'll say her partner there is KC5QCN. That's Gary. And they're staying there. Well, not obviously together, but they're partnered up for the operations part of it. So they're also, it's kind of just a co-ed dorm right now with absolutely zero privacy, as it looks like. And I don't know if she sent any other photos there, Victor. Yeah, those are some of the same ones. So this is just them preparing, going over their equipment before it was shipped over to Puerto Rico. This was a Red Cross meeting that they had. This was probably kind of their first briefing to find out what the conditions were, actually how bad it was going to be, maybe some of their jobs. This is them learning some of the equipment, some of the software they were going to be using. And, this is a crash course. They didn't even get, I think they got a full day maybe in doing this, and they just had to pick it up. But we all know Val is super smart and adaptable as all get out. So they picked it up, and now she's giving, and I think they went over this earlier tonight, but she's sending the ARRL all these updates every day, also doing some PR. Now that she has actual Wi-Fi, I think we're going to see a lot more updates, a lot more photos of how things are going. Some of the other things that she said were that stores are starting to open there. Of course, they have to close about a half an hour before curfew so people have a chance to walk home, those kind of things. But I think that this weekend was pretty rough there. Not a lot of communication. People were learning what they were going to be doing, probably a little bit nervous about how they're going to handle their communications appropriately and how they could help the Puerto Ricans. That was their biggest thing, and I think everyone got a little bit stressed out. But as more help arrived, I think things smoothed over a whole lot. So kudos to Valerie and all of our heroes over there in Puerto Rico that are doing such a wonderful job. Let's move on. I do have one other major announcement, you guys. Happy birthday, Mr. Heil. Tomorrow is Bob's, I'm not going to say how old he's going to be. Tomorrow is Bob's birthday, and I hope you guys all in the chat room say happy birthday to Bob, and he'll see that later on tonight. And send him birthday wishes on Heil Sound on Facebook as well. All right, let's move on. I do have just a couple of questions. I don't know where our time is right now, but George in 5LKE wanted to know, did you pick your call sign in homage to the AM radio station WJDX in Jackson, Mississippi?
I did. I grew up listening to that station. It was the first radio station in the Jackson area, went on the air December of 1929. I didn't hear it then. I was few decades later, but I was chief engineer there through, half of the 80s and most of the 90s. So I had a little history with the station, and I just happened to notice one day that W5JDX had not been taken. And I said, I think I'm going to get that call sign. And so I did. Now, I don't work for that station anymore. I work for some other stations here in town, but I still like those call signs. I'm going to keep them.
Well, that's a very cool story. And I have another friend that came out of Tennessee who changed his call sign to W2IMZ for out of homage to WIMZ, I believe it was, a country station there in Tennessee. So I think a lot of people do that. They remember something that was so fond in their childhood or just growing up as a young adult and they want to pick it. Gordo, I have a question from you that just came through the chat room. And there's no call sign listed with this, but East Austin wants to know, if in the event of a dire emergency event, our legal licensed hams are not able to operate, can someone without a ticket step in for them to transmit?
If it was a radio call that contains information dealing with someone's life or property, technically, even if there wasn't a control operator there, in an emergency, the rules are fairly clear that anything goes, but it has to be the absolute dire emergency for that law to cover someone not licensed talking over either ham radio or another radio service. And never, ever, ever would anyone ever attempt to talk to a forest ranger on forestry frequencies or police frequencies or fire frequencies or FEMA frequencies. Absolutely verboten. But in an emergency, down in Puerto Rico, if there was someone cut off and they found a ham radio and they had three people bleeding out, yes, they could make that call for help. And with you, Amanda, we're all just shocked at what happened in Las Vegas. But know that the hams turned out to the various five hospitals and were quite instrumental in keeping the hospitals knowing how many beds each other hospital had and other routine matters like that. Go ahead, Amanda.
Jeff just gave the thumbs up. He's, if I could answer for him, he would say, that's awesome. I had no idea. I haven't heard that story at all. And I find that fascinating. And thank goodness for a Las Vegas hams that just jumped right in there and started helping out. So I think we'll see, we'll hear some of those stories as well. It's just amazing the coverage that we've already had in helping Puerto Rico. Valerie has done a lot of interviews and to some pretty big networks. I know we're trying to get some of those video feeds or audio feeds, I should say, and BBC World News was one of them. So stay tuned. We'll see if we can get permission to use those on here and we'll share them with you guys. Other than that, I just have some net announcements to make. So join us on our normal nets. We had 20 meters tonight on 14,272, 40 meters on 7,192. And then our digital nets, we have Echo Link on D-Drop In, D-Star on 14 Charlie, and not to mention we have DMR on TAC 311. So I try to usually get into at least the digital nets. I think I'll be able to get on HF tonight, at least on 40. And I'd just like to thank everyone for being here tonight. And, of course, happy birthday, Bob. And, of course, we miss you so much, Don. Wish you could be with us tonight. But I know you're having a lot of fun out there with all those cars. So with that, George, I believe you're wrapping it up.
Okay, Amanda. Well, thanks for that information there. I know you've been in contact with Val some. The rest of us really hadn't heard anything from her. We hadn't heard anything from our friend Andy, who was down there as well. And I know they've been really busy, all the volunteers that are down there. And, of course, there's limited internet access and other means of communications. I imagine when they get off their shift there from working the emergency that everyone is pretty tired, but our hats off to them for picking up the challenge there and running with it. And to everyone else who volunteered that, as Tom says, is still in reserve there. And it was great to see Tom tonight from ARRL here and giving us some more details on how the deployment went and some of the things that are being done down there. Well, Gordo, before we go tonight, any final words from the left coast?
No, I can't wait to hear more and more on your other radio, audio, video show about the MFJ get-together. Wow, that was really something to see some of the very first transistorized single transistor, the SB100, in those converters. So great interview, and I can't wait to see more, George.
Yeah, I got about another 20 minutes to go with that interview, so I knew it would be too much to have here tonight. But I got a number of other things of interest from MFJ there as well. And we'll let you know when those are out there. Amanda, great to see you tonight. We appreciate you updating us on Val there. Any final words from you, Jeff, or radio?
Radio always has words, but they're hard to understand. I do have one more update, and I left this out. Andy is, he's been assigned near the dam, and I don't know how far away that is from San Juan, but it was a dam that was in danger of possibly having some collapsing problems, things like that, or failures, I should say. I have been assured that he's absolutely safe, but he is helping with communications out there, and he's probably very, very busy. So, like all of them, when you get yourself thrown into a vehicle and say, yeah, I need you to relay back to your repeater so that this police officer can make sure this whole neighborhood is safe. It's an overwhelming situation, and they're talking a lot, and they're doing good work out there. So that's all I have. George, back to you.
Well, thanks, Amanda. Yeah, and if there's anybody up to that task, it's Andy, you know, with with his history. You know, he's the perfect guy to take on those challenging situations like that. Well, thanks for being here tonight, everyone. And remember to drop a birthday greeting to Bob Heil. You can do that over at Heil Sound. I have not looked yet, but I understand there's a way you can do that right there on the website. Bob, happy birthday. I wish you could have hung around to the end of the show here, but I understand you're having some Skype difficulties there, which all of us do from time to time. We'll be back again next week, and I believe Don will be back with us as well. And I don't really know what anybody's going to be doing yet, so you'll just have to tune in then and find out. But for now, 7-3.
7-3.